The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. It is the last day of November. I think that's right, isn't it? The 30th, 2023. Welcome along. If you're first time here, make a comment, get involved, join in the fun. And in fact, you know, marks for the first comment of the day goes to Riffisoff. In fact, you did mention about guests recently. We're going to be getting guests on the show, okay? Guests with big brains, lots of knowledge. stop me just rambling on to myself. Well, for the first comment, we'll look at that. Yeah, I did notice some Ashtead technology acquisition today. We'll look into that. But also today, there's been a lot of companies hammered, absolutely hammered, in the last, 3, 6, 12, 24 months. And some of them are good businesses, you know? And it's just a temporary setback. How long that temporary is, I don't know, but you know, you have to use your own sort of guile and talent for that. But charts help, of course. But so I'm looking into one today that's come out with results. It's been hammered, absolutely hammered, but it was flying a while back. Okay, so recovery plays. Any recovery plays, I look at one of them, suggest some recovery plays. I mean, obviously, you know, you've got sectors like house building and all that stuff, which have been hammered, and they are coming back a little bit. Are we over the worst there? Because, of course, if interest rates now are at peak, the next movement will be down, which will be good for everything, you know, equities, everything. In fact, another company's delisted today, two this week, I think, three maybe. It's a horrible market. It's, you know what, genuinely, it's one of the worst markets I can ever, ever recall. And I know I don't look it, but I'm, you know, 50-odd, and I've been in the market for a while. Okay, so hit that like button if you could, subscribe, all that stuff. And, you know, subscribing to this channel, make sure we're doing the right thing, and we'll continue. We need to hit 5,000 by the end of the year. That, if we don't, that's it. It's over. Game show over. But let's, first of all, take a look at the indices today, see what the markets are doing. FTSE 100 up 0.5%, 7,460. FTSE 250, more domestically focused, of course, companies, it's down just over 0.5%. The AIM All share, it's 20.2% down. Rises there, Smurfit Kappa Group. I do like the Smurfs. BP, Rolls Royce. It's a cracker. Ocado, John's favourite. It's a Friday tomorrow. John will be here tomorrow. Fallers, Seven Trent, Entain. Take a bit of a hammer in there. And if you look at the FTSE 250, rises there. The Fallers, Dr. Martin Boots, getting a bit of a kick in. we'll look into the results of that. But they did come to the market very highly valued, you know, during the back end of the bull market, which is literally, you know, it's an awful combo. High valuation, end of a bull market. It's not going to turn out well, you know. In fact, let's look at Docs. There's the AIM All share, of course. What is that? September 6th, high, pretty much, at 13.20. Now down at 7.13. Hammered. Absolutely hammered. Let's look at Docs. Dr. Martin Boots. There we are. Look at that. Perfect. Right, literally, you couldn't have. It's like, well, we've seen so many charts where companies, you know, listed right, and there's no coincidence. This, of course, you know, interest rates were very low, money was cheap, you know, people were taking risks on monkey NFTs and paying up to several million for them. That's how stupid people were. Money did not cost anything. That's why everyone didn't, you know, really, you know, taking on big risks. And so you get lots of companies coming to the market when money's cheap, liquidity's good. Now we're at the opposite end. But Dr. Martin, let's look at this. Dayton range, it came from this down to this. Do you wear Dr. Martin boots? Have you bought any Dr. Martin shoes or anything like that? I've been told the brand is very good. It is sort of, you know, going across generations. It has generational appeal. Because, in fact, one of the guys from Vox and his daughter wanted a pair, but they were very, very expensive. Very expensive. Down 83% since the IPO. It's 1,035 days ago. Wow. Let's look at the company which you just mentioned there. Is it AT? Ashton Technology. Look at that. Opposite chart. diametrically opposed to Doc's. This is Astor Group. In fact, today, they've announced an acquisition. So they have 463 million market cap. That's an excellent uptrending chart, isn't it? Look at that. It hasn't even touched the 200-day moving average, and it keeps powering ahead. Absolutely keeps powering ahead. So they're a leading subsea equipment rental and solutions provider for the global offshore energy sector. And they decommissioned all this and all that sort of stuff. But they've acquired this company today, Ace Winches. And, you know, in the yellow pages, they'd be near the front of the book there, Ace Winches, wouldn't they? If you're looking for winches, they'd be straight on the front page there. But they've acquired this company on a total cash consideration for $53.5 million. They're drawing on the group's revolving credit facility and is expected to be materially earnings enhancing in full year 2025. So the current trading, the board continues to be very encouraged by the group's performance through H2 2023 and now expects full year 2023 to be comfortably ahead of previous expectations. That's what you're looking for in this market. You're looking for companies that are playing into strength, into, you know, into power. I don't know why I said power there, but that's what we need. You know, if you see, but do me a favor, if you're watching this and you see any RNS come out in the morning, right, that says we are ahead of expectations, flag it up to me. I want to know these companies. I want to know the sectors they're in, why they're performing well. Okay, that's what I want. Anyway, they acquired, so Winch, Ace Winches has gross assets of 55.7 million. Expected to generate revenues of 43 million. Adjusted EBITDA of 13.7, but your depreciation that has to be quite high. And in fact, they've actually taken the depreciation out. EBITDA of 10 million. So there, organic growth rates of the large group are expected to be in line with previous estimates. So that's good there. Let's just go to Docs as, you know, a company with an opposite sort of a release. 827 million market cap, Dr. Martin Boots. Are you wearing them now? Are you wearing a pair now? How much do you pay for them? But they do say here, look at that, it's down 26% today. First off, results 6 months, strategic progress despite challenging US backdrop. We saw mixed trading performance. that's a polite way of saying we're tanking. We made good progress with our strategic priorities. Continue, yeah, what about the financial results? Continue to invest in the business and our people to drive sustainable long-term growth during the period. We focus on controlling the controllables. Yeah, we've got to, haven't you? Can't control the uncontrollables. Anyway, here's financial results. Revenue down 5%. This is half year to when? 30th of September. EBITDA down 13%. EBITDA margin also down. Profit before tax down 55%. Profit after tax down 57%. So if you're saying, what, 20 million profit after tax, half year, say you double this, is 40 million, pretty much 40 million earnings. So you're talking about, well, 20 PE still. It's not cheap, is it? It's not cheap to me, Docs. Well, like the Docs themselves, they're not cheap, but good brand. Pricing power? I don't know. Is it? What do they have in the way of... sorry, I understand the scrolling is not the most entertaining thing watching. Let's look at any debt here, shall we? Borrowings, short-term borrowings of 33 million. It's gone up from 3.3. Longer-term borrowings of 290 million. Wow. Not one I'll be looking at. I'll tell you that now. Let's have a look here. Adam, what do you think of Sizzle Biotechnology chart? I'm aware of it. Didn't they have an issue with they sell off a bit of an asset in return for shares in a company that was listing on the NASDAQ? And once the shares listed, they had an option they could sell those and get some more cash. I understand that the company's been listed, but have they got the cash? What's happened there? It's blood testing, isn't it? Cancer and all that stuff. There's been no news lately, but looks like it's trying to break out anyway. Maybe a bit of FOMO causing some buying. Yeah, you've got, you know, nanocap stocks at that. You can get some FOMO. People say, oh, the cash is landing, or they test and it'll rise. But Let's have a look. Let's look at Sizz chart. Sizzle. I'm not sure of the name, are you? Is it a little rampy? I don't know. So here's the chart. Yeah, you can see there. Maybe you get these, FOMO sort of rallies. It's doing it. It's trying to break out. It's done it before, but failed at the 200-day. You could say, if you look at a last close, where's the last close on this? And you think, well, the highest close is pretty much 2.5. If you can close above that, maybe it's a good move, But it's very hard for small biotech companies in the space because the cash burn is quite high. And in this environment, it's going to be very hard. But hopefully, if they get that cash from selling that stock, it'll help. But, they've got to partner up and stuff on this. So I don't know the overall fundamental picture. Just generally, developing drugs is very expensive, or tests. But there we are. So you have to partner up. Let's quickly look on. Did anyone suggest any recovery plays? Let's look at this. What's going on with XP Factory share price? I was talking about this on a webinar last night. So I'm just thinking, it is a bit crazy, this. I mean, they're going to blow it out to the... I was listening to a Radio 5, Wake Up to Money podcast. There was a lady on there, and she was... I think she ran about, or was in charge of about 20 pubs in Scotland. She was saying bookings this year for Christmas are very early. People are very keen. They're booking out. And I've had the same experience with, going out in this Christmas with some friends. And it's lots of stuff are booked out already. I mean, maybe, we're over a month away from it. I think they'll do very well. I think they're going to come out with figures, XP. I don't know what's going on here. But sometimes, their growth is phenomenal. It really is. And they roll out so many. But there's obviously a seller in there somewhere. But all they need is exhaust the sellers. Like I said, it's that range, exhaust the sellers, and you get a good trading update comes out, and it'll rally once the sellers have dried up there. So, and now what are we looking at? Let's have a quick look at the results for XP Factory. You've got a 24 million market cap, all right? That's less than one time sales. Going to be profitable this year. The growth is cracking. And, if you go to Boom Battle Bar, go to, and we're looking at EBITDA margins for Escape Hunt are 30%, Boom Battle about 20. So 130% top line growth. This is half year, 18, So they're going to do, they're going to be well in excess of what, 40 odd million this year, top line. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if you just saw RMT not going to strike now at Christmas. So, people going to these, fun nights out, Christmas nights out, and not going to be hampered by the rail strike. It's amazing it's back down here. Phenomenal. This is the market, If you're holding, it's painful. But if you're not, there's opportunities out there. It really is. And like I said, I would go with trends because companies can get cheaper and cheaper. In fact, look at Team 17, another great company, that's taken a massive hammering. A lot of gaming stocks have. But what I get in here? No, it can get cheaper and cheaper. And then you realize, wow, I hate saying the word no-brainer when it comes to investments because no investment is a no-brainer. You see anyone on social media saying this investment's a no-brainer, they have no brain, okay? All investments carry risk. So never think, and in fact, it's underestimating the risk that gets people into problems. So no investment is a no-brainer, okay? I think there are lots of opportunities here, but your timing's got to be right, and they've got to be seen to be improving fundamentally, I don't see why XP Factory is down. Every trading update they put out has been very good, and I can't see it changing this year. It's a full year they've had, a big estate to operate from, so I can't see that changing. There are opportunities there, I think. Do your own research. Let's look. Sorry, I'm on the wrong sort of feed there. No, I don't. Still hold them. Dagger, any small cap surviving in the next 6 months should have more access to cheaper money. Yeah, listen, it is that. It is. In fact, I've missed out a comment here from yesterday. Here's a discussion worth mentioning. Informer said, what's the point of UK stocks? I feel like that sometimes. That's the market, You could have invested in Abercrombie and Fitch. and never been in the red. Well, I'm sure the share price has dipped, you know, once. Or invest in Bitcoin. And if you had DCA, you would be in the green. UK stocks go down and either go to zero or get bought on the cheap. No point to LSE. Might as well merge with NYSE. LSE is actually pointless now. You can say it's cheap, but you can also find cheap in the US. Yeah, but I think the US is overblown, really. It's a lot of risk there as well. But listen, you know, if you look at a longer term horizon, I've, you know, done well in the last, you know, 10, 15 years. In fact, the last year, I'm up. So you've just got to be very discerning. You've got to jump into everything. You've got to literally look at, you know, growth and value. You've got to make sure that in sectors that are doing well, there are certain sectors being bombed out, the sentiment is bombed out. But that, again, is an opportunity. We are in a horrible bear market in form. I can understand where you're coming from. And I feel like that sometimes. What's the point in this? What is the point? But the markets will turn. They always do. They always have. This is no different, you know? What's different now? Okay, we've got some debt, you know, the inflation, be fine. Once they reduce interest rates, it's just a hard time. But it will turn and it will rip. The markets will rip, honestly. Like I said yesterday, you know, if you look at a Berkshire Hathaway stock, it's done 3,000% the last 30 years. There are micro caps and nano caps that have done that in literally a year. That's the difference. That is the difference, okay? And it will happen again. You'll get those rip-ups where you'll do thousands of percent. And these, some of these, you know, micro nano cap companies that have been sold off so heavily. So that's what I think the point is anyway. Let's go to Vox Markets front page here. Let's look at what's going on. Aquastock, DX International secures 409 grand to accelerate development of expert care. That's from Innovate UK, Skin Biotherapeutics to launch Axis Biotechs. So, Skin Biotherapeutics, okay, Biovitrix there. Second program shows early promise targeting ovarian cancer. Lloyds shut 45 branches. That's the way, isn't it? You know, Metro are now considering that. I'll cover that in a bit. That's a bust. It's a business model, isn't it? Followed companies, no surprise, Empire Metals, people chasing that. It's done it. You missed out. It's gone. The rise has happened. Kelso Group. 5.3 million. What's happening here? Notification of major holdings. This is Matthew Moulding. And he's taken a 3% stake in that. No idea why. What do they do, Kelso? They will identify, engage, and unlock trapped value in UK-listed companies through active engagement and alignment with other stakeholders. Okay, all right. There we are. There's a play on the markets. Silver Bullets there. Doing well. Like that. Part of mine. Reynold. Yeah, okay. Most Red, Churditch. All of these pretty much I've been looking at, apart from Greatland, I think. Most Red are down. I didn't really read into the Churditch thing, but there was down anyway. But there was a question of funding there. There's lots of things to go through until they get this Churditch drilling activities. They're on track kind of thing, environmental approvals. There's a lot of people talking about Boyle. I know it's one of those, you know, oil and gas gamble stocks, essentially. But like that, people are hoping for this kind of thing to happen, you know, this kind of shoot up. But I think there's other better place. Gritland Gold, nickel prospectivity confirmed at Panorama. That's good. Surface sampling undertaken. But we did look at the chart of GDP. It is, you know, seemingly maybe ended the downtrend there. Good rally here. You can see down lines there breaking up. That's nice. By the way, I did chat to Neil there. It's very encouraging. Outside the mineral resource estimate at the Woya, they've, you know, intersected the longest interval there. And you look at the pictures in our RNS, lots of good spodumene. Clean, green spodumene. Direct a change at Pulbeg. What have we got there? Announced the Chairman's Board. Patrick Ash will step down in November. Eddie Gibson. That's a good name, isn't it? Eddie Gibson will come in there. How is the chart of that doing, Pulbeg? It was looking quite good recently. Yes, sort of broken a downward channel, broken up nicely above 200 moving average. Okay, so let's look at quickly. Look at it was one of the fallers today, but Zoo Digital. Okay, this is the company I'm looking at. Is it a bit? Because I'll show you the chart of Zoo Digital. All right, Zoo. Look at that, a cracking rise. So it listed what down here, 13 pence pretty much. But shot up. It was a 10-bagger, you know, even from the lows of COVID, 29 pence up to £2. Did really well, you know. What do? They sort of localize content for, you know, big studios, podcasts, anything. So, for example, if you need subtitles on something, they'll do that. Or they'll get, you know, people into voiceovers for dubbing, or the format needs changing for different regions. They do that, and they've got contracts in America and Hollywood. And that's why this happened, essentially. Because you had the Hollywood strike happen, and then all of a sudden, new content stopped. So they went from literally, you can see there, if you just run 200 moving average, you'd got out at 164. They went down to 22 pence. It's trying to rally, rolling over a little bit. And they came out with some interim results today, okay? And these are the interim results. Revenues decreased by 58%. Gross profit decreased by 87%. Adjusted loss before EBITDA, 7.1 million. And they had an EBITDA of 7.3, so literally 14 million down on the EBITDA. Operating loss of 10.9 or 11 million. And they were making, last time round, they're making a profit of 3.8. Completed in April an equity fundraise of 12.5. So that's good. So first and foremost, you go, okay, it's a good job they raised money previously, because if they hadn't, they'd have been in trouble by now. Cash balance of 16.8 million. So first thing you look at is, okay, they're going to make it, and say everything is, but they're saying outlook. Resolution of the writers and actors strikes in September and November, respectively, following subdued first half, commence second half with a stronger order book from major customers. You know, okay, it's getting better. Look, the outlook's getting better. Expect to deliver progressively stronger sequential performance in each of Q3, Q4, with significant increase in sales in full year 2025. It's getting better. Expected to achieve at least break-even in Q4 and return to profitability in full year 2025, in line with current market expectations, in regular dialogue with the vendor of the proposed target in Japan. So, I understand shares look forward, you know, it's been sold off massively. Will they achieve the previous highs here? And so I've knocked up my spreadsheet, you've got it out. And this is what we're looking at. That's full year results. So obviously, it had to mess around with it because they report in dollars. Dollar, 73 million market cap, enterprise value 65. We know then they've got more cash than debt, because enterprise value is lower. Net assets are 41, pretty much. The volume seems okay. Look at the difference between this side and this side. Okay? Loss, profit, all red this side, I think. Look at that. I break them down to growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, potential. All right? And so you see there, all down. Growth, oh, no points. Top points. Value, you know, is they're all in the minus. Price to book is all right. Price of sales is fine. They got cash, debt, health, efficiency. Okay, the gross margin is really taking a hammer in. It was up to 38%, pretty much, down 9. Wow. And the upside, based on forecast, you see, I can see, I mean, if they grow faster than this, then almost 40%. But you can see here, momentum, we haven't got anywhere near. It's literally, it's not in an uptrend, you know. So it's almost step back, watch. It could be a good recovery play. But yet, we're too early yet, I think. And if you put a 50-day moving average on, and even let's put a, look at that, it did rally beyond that. But what you want to see there is break of previous highs, and you see this big gap here, this massive resistance pretty much at what, 74, 73, and so it needs to sort of get above that. But I think, you know, like I said, it was flying, the growth was very good. They went from loss-making to profitable, and the worry here, a little bit of a worry, is AI. There's worry that you know, studios will start using AI to translate stuff, but they work with high-end, you know, quality outfits. And so Zoo also have an AI facility there. And so I think what's going to happen is, if these studios use AI, they're going to use it in conjunction and with consultancy from Zoo Digital. And of course, you know, if Zoo Digital use AI, then it's going to bring their, it's going to improve their margins as well, because AI means less people, and people are very expensive, and AI is not too much. So that's Zoo. What's your thoughts on that? Any thoughts on Zoo, anyone? I'll say Zoo, potential recovery play now that writer's strike is over. Yes. Let's have a look. Monkey NFTs, the end is nigh. Yeah. What do you think will happen next in the future? So William says, Justin, when do you think the next all-time high in the FTSE 100 will happen? I have no idea. But I would suggest next year, when interest rates start coming down. That's what I think. Probably. It's hard for sure. It's an international exchange. All international companies, big companies. So it's a funny mix there. But I suppose that will happen. If you get, a lot of them are dollar denominated, though. So if dollar weakens, it's going to be good for equities anyway. It's so many moving parts, isn't it? In equities and dollar denominated, the commodities go down, commodities rally, they're selling commodities, the margins. I don't know. Any thought on, this is James, on ME Group this morning? I thought the results were solid, yet Mr. Market gives the SP a tanking. ME Group. Oh, let's have a look at ME Group. ME. Is that the ticker? ME Group. Okay, let's have a look. Share screen. ME Group International. I've got to say, I'm not over big caps a lot. We develop and market value-added self-service vending machines. Okay, today we are a major player in sectors as diverse as photography. Oh, ME! Photo ME. Yeah, okay. They've changed the name, did they? Photo ME. It's Photo ME, wasn't it? International. Okay. Sorry, I didn't realize they changed the name. So what do they say? Following a full strong first half performance, the group continued to see positive trading momentum throughout second half, particularly across its core photo booth and laundry operations, and continued strong. How did they get this surprise to the upside a while back, isn't it? When everyone had their digital phones and all that stuff, and because why do people need phone booths anymore? Even now, you can stand against a wall and take your photo, your passport photograph you don't have to go to a booth anymore. That was the only reason I went to a booth. To literally get my passport photograph done. You don't need to do that anymore. You just stand against a plain wall and do it with your phone. Anyway, so 12 months, October, group expects revenue to be marginally below, there we are, marginally below the lower end of previous guidance. Well, that's why I assume they're down, but to be no less than 298 million. Nevertheless, given the group's focus on profitability, EBITDA remains in line with previous stated guidance range, and the group expects to be significantly above 100 million. Profit before tax is expected to be towards the top end of the previous guided range of no less than 67 million. This is for 12 months, isn't it? So 67 million profit before tax. Okay. 60, what was that? 10 times? Are they on that? Less than that? It's an achievement. But, I suppose it's good. I can't read all that, but. Only share dividend, they buy back shares, are they? Okay. What I would say is that, every financial metric, you're limited by what revenue you generate, pretty much. You can cut costs and improve margins, but if sales aren't coming through the door, eventually that EBITDA and profitability will drop. Because, top line growth you need, essentially. Of course, you can improve efficiencies, but you can only do that so much, can't you? So you still want to see a little bit of revenue top line growth, because every metric's built off that. That's the especially, it's not so much bad with bigger companies, because they do a lot of efficiencies and generate a lot of profit by that, by improving margins, by not having any top line growth. When you look at smaller companies, you need that top line growth, because that in itself is sales validation. That's commercial validation of your product. So when you look at growth companies, they've got to have growth. Growth value, very important, there we are. So let's look at the chart of ME Group. MEGP. MEGP. But also, look at that. It says it's done so well. There, look at that. That there. Right there. If you don't know what's happening, right? If you're looking at the fundamentals, you can't kind of work it out. It's okay. Top line growth is slowly, slightly down. Why is it down? What else do they do? Vending machines. Look at it segmental. How much, which part makes up the most of their revenue? Is it photo booths? Is it laundry? What is it? Because it does seem like that. Is that trend going to continue? Photo booths? Why do you need to go in those anymore? I don't know. I don't know. I know people have said that for a long time. But that there, right? You can see. Let me just take the 50-day moving average off. Now, just check that out, right? And people saying, oh, charts, doing charts, doing charts. I keep explaining it's a measure of money flow. It's a pictorial representation of money flow. That's what it is. Okay? So you can see here, it broke above the 200-day moving average on the 16th of May, 2022. Hasn't touched that since May 2022. What's that? August, September, October, November. That's 16 months. 16 months, okay? And then it did, in fact, it did do it here on October. And you've got to understand, you know, something is happening there. You were getting net sellers coming in. Hit a high here, didn't break previous highs. And then you could say pretty much, it, you know, this range here, it came down to that level, touched these spike downs, okay? And then it broke it. And that's where the 200-day moving average is. Right there. It broke it. Tried to rally down again. That is now, as you can see, almost probably going into a downtrend. You've got the death cross happening, the 50 crossing the 200-day. It may settle a little bit lower, but that downtrend, that uptrend has ended. Okay? That's just looking at the chart. I mean, you can probably be clever and look at the fundamentals. They're still undervalued. Yeah, but undervalued companies can get better value. Honestly, they can. So just sitting on that hope that it's undervalued, yeah, you can get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. You can get cheaper for the next 2 years. Like I said, that trend lasted over a year, you know? If that trend lasts over a year, how patient are you? Asset Co suddenly shot up nearly 10 cents and 10:30 this morning. Poor little sum of the parts valuation around 80 pence, I reckon. Yeah. No, worth a look. I just said before, any asset manager that's decent, has decent, you know, assets there and have been hammered, which most of them have. Most of them have. And in fact, let's look at a chart. I've got a screen set here. Where is it? Bear with me one second. Let me find it. I'm sure I had a list of asset managers. Yes, pretty much all round the, you know, round about that ballpark. Okay, so all these pretty much. Have I put Asset Co in there? Asto. Let me put that in there as well. Asto. But take your pick. You know, you can do a screener of all these and see who's got the most discount. But I mean, these are, you know. Ashmore, they're Far East, sort of investment company, asset manager. Look at that, been hammered. BPT, who's that? Bridgepoint, Brooks McDonald, Man Group. In fact, not too bad. In fact, one of the best ones holding up. Look at that, 3i Group. Look at that. And their PE is not high either. Yeah, I would try. That's against Impact Asset Management, who released, I think, some results yesterday. Jupiter Fund Management, they're all down. You know, take your pick. It's going to be Premier Miton, Polar Capital, Schroders, Asset Co. You know, I mean, you probably get better bang for your buck going, you know, smaller market cap. But let's look at the chart there on Asset Co. Yeah, nice little rally. It's quite, what's the volume on this? Average volume, 320,000. So share price at 100 grand a day. Yeah, so it wouldn't take a lot to push that up. Now, that's looking quite good. You can see there, you know, broken 50-day moving average, come back. Now it's going to break previous highs. Done that there. There we are. That's good. That's a good start there. That's good. That's a good move. Really good move. Tell Paul, if you're watching Paul, I know you probably are, that's looking good in the chart. Like I said, it hasn't broken that 200-day moving average. Well, it tried to back there, but back in 21st December 2021. Wow. Nearly 2 years. And maybe we're, you know, it's going to be above that on the second anniversary. So that's the good move there. What's it up? 10%. Yes, good move. Good move. But there's a load of asset managers there. God, it's 25 already. Have I been banging on that long? The ECB are mulling a rate cut early next year. Yes, it'll happen. Because the American GDP, you see that? Revised up to 5.2%. That's amazing. But China is so jealous of that. China, you know, one of the biggest economies in the world, doing 5.2%. That can't last. Yeah, I mean, it's odd saying that. You know, GDP is very backward-looking. But, you know, I hold Marlborough Microcap for my AIM exposure. Good. Dr. Martin's balance sheet is even worse condition than my wife's credit card. Yeah, I think it's a wife's feet then. HVO on an upswing, but it's been quite for a while before they build extra capacity. Thoughts, HVO, look at those. Selling XPF, you're looking better and better value at this price. Yeah, no, value, like I said, you know, that's why you've got to pair sort of growth, value, momentum together, because momentum, it can keep getting better value. But sooner or later, it'll get silly value. Certainly, these companies are getting silly value, and they'll have that massive rally off the bottom. And then inflow of money will come in. You can see that in the chart, you know. Don't write off old Blighty. You know? Yeah, exactly. I think, to be fair, defending Informer's comment, I think he's just referring to, it's been a hard market, very hard. And, you know, but after this, you know, from historic lows, come highs, honestly. Within a year or so, we'll be heading toward the highs, close to. So I know it's hard to think of that, but, you know, was it dawn is always darkest? I don't know what the saying is. Someone filling that saying. What is dawn before dusk? Before dawn. Day is darkest before dawn. Whatever. Yeah, you know. Abercrombie and Fitch have been up and down a lot since 1986. All-time high 2007 from Yahoo. Small caps in the US do much better than UK, as UK small caps have no liquidity. Yes, but RH. That's the thing. It doesn't need a lot of liquidity to push them down. Doesn't need a lot to get a map either. Honestly, if you look at the Russell 2000, it's not done very well. There's in America, it's the index is warped. You've had a bit of a more of a broadish rally recently, but it's still, you know, skewed towards the Magnificent Seven, which take up, you know, 50% market weighting of the S&P 500. Think about that. 500 companies, okay, in the S&P 500, seven of them make up 50% of it. In size and weight. So when they rally, the entire thing goes up. That is not the case. If you do equal weighted across the S&P, it's not performing. So they've had a bad time. And in fact, let me just get the FTSE, the Russell, you know, the Russell 2000. This is their small cap industry. But small caps out in America, not like our small caps, you know. They talk about small caps of, you know, oh, it's less than 10 billion or something like that. It's you know, less than, you know, that's there's some of their small caps would fit in the FTSE 250, you know, 100. But nevertheless, look at that. That's the Russell 2000 from like back in the day. There's where are we here? You know, it peaked out in November 2021. It's had a real rally, but still down 25%, you know, from that time. But it was down at 33%. So it's not like the S&P and NASDAQ, you know, which is completely different. Yeah, where am I going here? Yes. Anything else? Crypto is a no-brainer by definition. Crypto isn't... by definition. What definition? What definition, Informer? I do like Informer. Keep posting there because it doesn't make me think. And nothing's no-brainer. You know, you can get regulation there that will that can blow it out. Honestly. My comment, no point, is LSC based on nanocaps that do well, don't scale, so no point in LSC. No, you're generalizing them. There are companies that can scale and do scale. You know, photo and laundry, latter growing very strongly. Okay, laundry. Okay, SRB results today looking great. Rich dad. SRB. Sorry. God, I've been banging on you. Sarabi, is it? Sarabi Gold. 26 million market cap. What was it else? SRB. Are they a pre-set or are they just the chart's going to, right? They're bottoming out. SRB, what do they say today? RS, interim results. Oh, it's a lot of text here. Cash held 15, EBITDA 9 months, 8.7, profit, post-tax profit of 4.6. Mm-hmm. Okay, lost last year. Yeah, yeah. Let's have a look here. Trade and payables, long-term state tax. Okay, oh, okay, interest bearing. Is that millions? No, it's not. I was going to say that. If it was millions, that's worrying on debt. Okay, sorry. Let's scroll down here. I'm looking at all the wrong stuff. Okay. It's actually darkest just before dawn. Yeah, why would it be? Yeah. The darkest hour just before dawn, yeah. Yeah. So it seems what that's saying is darkest hours before dawn, you know. It's the most depressing, darkest time before actually light comes. Because, of course, that's the way it is. It's going to get to a peak where it's dark and it starts getting light, but it's getting darker, 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 darkest. Lighter, 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 lighter. So that's the markets, isn't it? I mean, in all share, we may have hit a bottom there. And, of course, just off the bottom, it's still very gloomy. So we've just been at the lowest point in like 2 years. But incrementally, you know, if you think about it, if you're at, you know, dawn, or darkest hour, whatever it is, the darkest hour. There's no sign, actually, that it's going to get lighter, is there? And even when it gets a little lighter, you think, has it got lighter? But it can't tell, because it's adjusting slowly. I don't know if it's got lighter. And before you know it, the market's up like 10, 20%. Then, wow! Yes, that was the bottom. So it's hard to really call it, if you know what I'm saying. Let's last finish on some macro stuff. At last, the RMT union votes. This will be good for leisure. Really good. So we talk about XP factory and all that. You know, last year, you know, you're trying to recover from COVID. Then all the rail strikers started coming out, disrupting, you know, businesses. People earning money, livings. This now, the RMT union votes to end rail strikes until at least spring. When's the election? Is that before spring? Because there may be some engineering here. Or maybe they're waiting till before the election. That's good, because they get bargaining power. They've agreed an offer for train companies, which included a backdated pay rise of 5%, as well as job security guarantees. However, train drivers representing the union ASLEF will strike. They're on 60 grand a year. I think, huh? Just moving your arm. That's a good gig, isn't it? I don't know. UK car production is expected to exceed 1 million in 2023, well above estimates of 860,000 units of cars, but it's still below pre-pandemic levels, which they did 1.5. UK Metro Bank is axing 1 in 5 jobs and 7-day banking. This week it received shareholder approval for the equity portion of a £925 million refinancing and recapitalisation plan backed by Colombian billionaire Jamie Gilinski. It said expected cost reduction to deliver £50 million of savings this year. But will that stop making a loss? It's pointless. It's a broken model. I don't want to go into a bank. I know older people do, maybe, but they'd be probably better off having personal bankers go around their houses, you know, just adjusting the blankets on the old lady's legs and making cups of tea and talking about their banking. That'd probably be more cost efficient what they're doing than having all these branches open with a couple of old biddies inside it. Doesn't make any sense. That's what you need. We'll send a personal bank around to see you. Okay, Mavis, she'll come around tomorrow. She'll have ID and she'll make you a cup of tea and talk about your banking. That would be more cost effective than what they're doing. Okay. That's it. Justin, ask Santa for reading glasses. Yeah, no, it's, yeah, I know. We've got last 5 trading days of the year. We'll start on the 14th, pretty much. 14th, 15th, 16th, around that time. That's when the Santa Rally happens. And then it'll last till second day, trading day of the year. And then we'll pull back. Then we'll rally like crazy on rumours that interest rates coming down this year, 2024. Thank you very much. That's it. Don't forget, hit that like button if you could, and subscribe to the channel, our YouTube channel. We've got to get to 5,000. That's it. or it's cut off deadline, and the Vox Markets app is free to use. Go to voxmarkets.co.uk/app, download it, just follow the companies you want to follow, and you'll be sent RNSs straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever they release an RNS. Anyway, going to go and drink some beer in Wetherspoons. There we are. If that's, in fact, sometimes if they're doing well, Wetherspoons, it's, look at the shares, If you know the product very well and you like it. JD. Let's look at that. JD Weather. Wetherspoons. It was Wetherspoons. JDW. Yeah, look at that. It's rallied off the bottom there, up, having consolidation. Yeah. And there we are. Oh, formless. I don't want to end on this, but formless Chancellor Alistair Darling has passed away. I haven't really ended on a good negative positive point there, have I? Anyway, hit that like button. Thanks very much. Cheers. Bye-bye. Speak to you next week. Next tomorrow week. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.